Turn with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I'm going to read from the 6th verse. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. But as I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He always have all sufficiency, and all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything and all, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And may God bless this portion of the reading. Now in the first part, and I'm not going to preach it on that last, but in the first part of that reading, it's talking about giving. And you're a good giving church. And as you have given out of the abundance of your heart for the various needs, God has come along and blessed you. Amen. Amen. God is not a debtor to anyone. He's a wonderful Savior, a mighty God. And this being the Thanksgiving week, it's a good time for us to stop and to pay some attention to what God has done and his blessings and his benefits and the joys that are ours in serving God. It's a good time to just thank God. Not only on Thanksgiving week, but all the time. And that last verse says, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We're thankful this morning for our families, our companions, our children, our parents, etc. We're thankful for the church family, the brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we thank God for the wonderful freedoms that allow us in this great country of America. And this goes on and on and on, but most of all, we join voices with the Apostle Paul when he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bible tells us Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to redeem man that was fallen. Jesus came to buy back that which Adam, our forefather, had sold to Satan, had traded to Satan, had since come into the world, and now he's come to redeem and buy us back. He came to do the will of the Father. And in the 15th verse, Paul lets us know he's coming. His coming was God's gift to mankind. I want to begin today by saying thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to stop and think. If it had not been for the grace of God, where would you be? How would your life be this morning? I am confident if it had not been for the mercy and the grace of God, I would have already been in hell. But I'm here today because of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving week. A wonderful time for families to come together and people to enjoy one another and thank God for all he's done. While preparing for the sermon, I thought how inadequate words are. I don't know about you, but there come times when you want to say something and you'd like to be a help and encouragement or something, but the words don't seem to come. And the words that you've words to be appropriate seem like the words that come to your mind are not appropriate, and sometimes our vocabularies are so limited we do not know maybe exactly how to say or what to say. But today, I just want to mention four things in giving thanks to God. There's so much. I have testified in the course of our ministry, a lot of times in the course of preaching a sermon, testified of what God has done. And maybe sometimes you might get tired of hearing it, but I want you to know this today. I'm coming from a different way, but I want you to know this today. It never gets old with me.
Amen.
This church.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the family.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I thank God for His Son, Jesus. I want to mention four things today, and there's so much, so many, things to be thankful for, but I want to mention four today, if I may. And I would like to begin with the thought that I thank God for His people. I thank God for His children around the world. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to die in our place. And then I came to the thought that for today's sermon, I thank Him for His people, for Christians, for the church family. When I was a boy raised in church, we were taught to memorize, we were encouraged to memorize Bible scriptures. And it's amazing, after all these years, some of those still stay with you, and many, many, many of them are gone. But there came a time when I was a youngster that we memorized the 100th Psalm. That says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Coming into His court with praise and all the rest. And when you get to the third verse, it says, know ye that the Lord is God, and He that has made us and not we us. And it says, for we are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. And the first thought I want to mention this morning of this Thanksgiving Sunday, we are the people of God. We are His people. Why don't we just say it together? Will you do that with me? Say it with me now. We are His people. Say it again. We are His people. You know what that means? We're going somewhere. We're the children of God. We are His people. That includes all the born-again believers around the world. All of those that are walking in the light, wherever they are, and I'm glad today that I can tell you, I'm one of them, amen. Wherever you go, my wife and I, and some of you have the privilege, some of you are military, and you've had the privilege of going many places around the world, but I found it to be so after we got saved that wherever you go, whoever you meet out there that's a Christian, wherever they might be, whatever their race, whatever their nationality, when you meet a Christian brother or sister, there's a kinship.
Amen.
The world isn't anything about it. But there's a kinship, someone you've never known before, but they're saved and you're saved. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I thought, God, thank you that we are part of your people. Peter said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but he says, but now are the people of God. Peter said, but now, with all that you've built here, and you've been chosen by God, but and because of that you are the people of the Almighty God. It's no wonder that David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because we come to fellowship with God's people.
Amen.
I made a statement last Sunday, I'm going to repeat it today. I heard an old time preacher a long time ago said, if a sermon is not worth preaching twice, it's not worth preaching once. So I used that for a statement. I made a statement last Sunday about the coming of the Lord and about being ready and about serving God, about living for Him and being the people of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm glad to come to the house of God to fellowship with God's people. I said last Sunday, one reason why I love to be with you here, because you're the people I'm going to be with forever.
Amen.
And I'm thrilled about it. Some people might say, oh no, not that. people that love God. We're the people of God. We're God's people. We've got something to rejoice about. I thought what an opportunity it is ours today to come to fellowship one with another in the house of God, in the beauty of holiness. I just mentioned that in here along with the second point. And thank you for your prayers. When the Bible says that we come together to worship in the beauty of holiness, some people don't understand what that means. Maybe they've never had it given it a second thought about in the beauty of holiness. We've come to lift up His name. We've come to magnify Him and to worship Him. The spotlight is not on any of us. The spotlight is on Him. In the beauty of holiness, not just how people dress, or how people talk, or where they go, or where they don't go. I'm talking about living for the Lord every day.
Yes.
In the beauty of holiness. This thing is good when you go to Walmart.
Amen.
Even if you go to Kmart.
Amen.
Or wherever you go, this thing is good to live holy.
Yes.
Yes,
it is.
Amen.
Amen.
We are the people of God. I'll throw out one other scripture before I go on. The Bible says we are living epistles read of all men. What does that mean, Brother Joe? Some people out there don't even read their Bible. Maybe they don't even have a Bible. They don't know about God. They don't know about Christianity. They don't know what it means to really live for the Lord. All they know is that they see you.
Amen.
And if they see Christ in us, maybe something about that will cause them to want to serve God.
Oh, help us, God.
Amen, amen. We are the people of God. Thank God for that. The second thing that I'd like to mention this morning is that I thank God for the way that He takes care of His own. I thank God for His provisions. I thank God for providing. If you read the Bible from Genesis right on through, you'll find that He's been providing all of these centuries. Go with me to the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve sinned, God provided a covering.
Yes.
You've read that word in the Bible that said propitiation. Propitiation means a covering. God killed an animal and shed blood. That if the skin of the animal would give a covering for the nakedness of Adam and Eve after they sinned, they realized their nakedness because now sin has come into their lives.
Uh-huh.
And God provided a covering. I thought about on the Mount Moriah when Abraham obeyed God and he went there to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and when he took the knife and was ready to take his son's life, God provided a ram.
Amen.
For the sacrifice.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Go right on through the scriptures. God has provided. I thought about Daniel going into the den of lions, hungry lion, but God provided a good night's rest. That's more than we can imagine. The Bible said the disciples went fishing and they toiled all night and caught nothing. And when they came to shore, Jesus was there on the shore and He was fixing some breakfast for them. He provided food for them. When the children of Israel were going to cross of the wilderness, God provided water and food when there was no food and water.
Amen.
God provided a path, a miracle path in the Red Sea that they might walk across on Gala. God is the provider. His name is Jehovah Jireh. My God will provide. Brother James has been without a job. I was talking with him this past week. Recently, he has a testimony. And this is the testimony. He's one of God's children. And God has provided. I'm standing before you today, a man over 80 years of age, but God has provided every need of my life.
Yes, yes.
He'll never fail us. He'll never let us down.
Right.
He will see to it that our needs are taken care of.
Right.
Serve Him with all of your heart, live for Him with everything you've got, and God will take care of you.
Yes, He will.
I made mention of a story a long time ago. A man that decided life was not worth living. I'm going to take my life. Got a hotel in London. Had a pistol ready to take his life. As he picked up the pistol, he heard something down in the street, in the streets of London. There was a Salvation Army, or a group. A group was down there singing and playing instruments, and the man in the hotel room Listen for a while. Listen to the song they were singing. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. The man laid the pistol down, gave his life to Christ, saved by grace, ready to take his own life. Life was not worth living. Nothing to live for. People without Jesus, life is empty. But thank God today for his provisions. I believe he provided for that group down there on the sidewalk. I believe God has provided for us in ways that we don't even remember. Can't even imagine God has been there. He provides for his children.
That's right. Amen.
Let me share one more time. It might be the last time I ever get to do it. When God calls to preach and we had bills and I'd got trying to get a job. Could not get a job, but I left the Air Force. And I've told you this, and I'm going to tell you one more time. We laid our bills on the kitchen table in that house trailer that we were living in. There's my trailer payment. There was my house, my automobile payment. There was all the bills. And we prayed. My wife and I laid our hands on the bills and prayed. And said, God, you called us. You sent us here. We are in the will of God. We love you. We know that you love us. We're believing for you to take care. I've said that before. I'm going to say it one more time. God came on the scene. Met every need we've ever had. We're never behind on one of those bills because God provides. He provides for his children. I know better than anyone here. If you've had some bills that were overdue, I'm not putting anyone down. I want you to know God will take care of you. Serve him with all of your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not talking just about preachers. I'm talking about anybody that will serve God. God will take care of you and provide every need of your life. Amen, amen. Thank God for his provisions. Thank God for his people today. Thank God that he watches over us and takes care of us throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He provides for his people. And the good news is, in the Bible he provided and he continues to provide this morning. Every opportunity that we have is because of the hand of God. He provides strength. He provides health. He provides friends, he provides finances, he provides whatever we need today. Thank God for his provisions. Thirdly, I want to thank God for his presence, and I stop right again here. I thank God for every time we've come to church, and he was here. We've had people come in first time. Walked in, some said on this side of the aisle, we're at the back. I remember a lady standing and saying that when I got out of the car on the parking lot, I felt the presence of God. Well, I'm not here to build up a bundle like tabernacle because we are nothing without him.
Amen.
Had someone else that said, I've driven by and driven by and driven by and driven by. And I've seen the sign, but today, God's directed me to come to this place, not because we are so great, but because God loves people.
Yes.
God loves to do good things. The third thing that I mentioned today, I talked about being God's people. Thank God for his people. Thank God for his provision, but I want to thank God today for his presence. Not only in the house of God, but when you go to your private devotions, in your closet, wherever you might be, in your bedroom, and the presence of the Lord is there. Brother, you can't buy that with all the money in the world. Amen, amen. You can't purchase the presence of God. And I can't explain it. I cannot tell you exactly how it all works. But I'm glad that I can tell you whether you're by yourself or with someone, whether in the house of God or wherever you might be, you can have the presence of the Lord wherever it might be. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for his presence today, knowing that he's real in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah. In my years of serving the Lord, I've learned some things, but maybe sometimes it seems as if better than a little, but I've learned that the life of a Christian is not always peaches and cream.
Right.
The life of a Christian is not always on the mountaintop. It's not always easy sweating. I want that to penetrate. I don't want to go any further until we all receive that. Serving God is not always a coast downhill. There's a battle to fight. There's a warfare. The enemy's out there. If you serve the Lord with all of your heart, living the way that He wants you to live, there'll still be some troubles and some trials and some difficulties. And you will not always understand why. There'll be things in your life that will come and you love God, and you're obeying God, and you're living for God, and some things will happen and you'll not understand why. But let me just continue, whatever you face in life, regardless of how dark it might be and how dark the clouds might be, when Jesus passes by, when He comes where you are, hallelujah, when He appears on the scene, it makes all the difference in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to go through that again. I want you to understand. Some people no doubt have the idea that if I serve God, everything is just going to fall in place and we're just going to coast right on into heaven. There'll be some roadblocks. There'll be some detours. There'll be some sickness. There'll be some sorrow. There'll be some tears. There'll be some heartache. They'll come your way. I don't understand why sometimes, but I know one thing. God is still in control. He does all things well. He never makes a mistake. Things that I don't understand, I leave it with Him. Because I know He's working things out for His glory and for my good. And so when He comes by, when we pray and He finally comes to where we are, it makes all the difference in the world. I jotted some things down. The troubles and trials will fade into the background when He comes by. The storm clouds will turn to sunshine when He comes by. A new day will dawn. The sun will arise. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be brighter when He comes by. Our confidence is renewed in the Lord.
Yes.
We can say as David in the 16th chapter of Psalm, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in Thy presence, in Thy presence, in Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." In the presence of God, I find God this morning for His presence. Let me ask you a question. It's not Wednesday night. Let's just act like it is. For show of hands. How many of you in the year 2013 have had a difficulty, a problem, a hardship, or sickness? Anything along that line in this entire year, raise your hand. I was just looking around because if you have it, we don't have it one more month, you'll probably get yours. And it's not because God doesn't love us. Do you read through the Bible? Some of the best people in the world have gone through some difficult times. And I don't understand why. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I don't have any of the answers, it seems. But I want to stop today to say thank God for His presence. When you've cried until you've cried out, there's no more tears. You're empty.
Yes.
You pleaded with God. You begged God. You prayed and sought God. You've read the Scriptures. You've read the promises. And you presented them to God. It seemed like nothing's happened. And you cried and cried and cried. Seeming no answer, no answer. You might ask yourself, why? And then all of a sudden, He comes by. And you feel His presence.
Yes.
You know He loves you. You know He's working something out. He don't have to tell us why all the time. Just be there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He never answers another question to me as long as He's close by.
Amen.
Everything's all right.
Yes.
There's times when I preached on that platform. Sometimes out here. that I preached, and all of a sudden, in the course of the ministry, all of a sudden it seemed like his presence was more real than it had been. Sometimes in Bible study, some people have the idea that Bible study and teaching and whatever is dry, and preaching ought to be fiery. I like to have fiery teaching. I mean, all of God's powerful, amen. There's nothing to compare with the presence of God. When you're going through the most difficult time of your life, one time right now comes to my memory. I'm not going to go into detail, but things have gone altogether different from what we had expected to happen. I was alone, praying, seeking God, behind the tabernacle, Southern California. Praying, didn't know why. Now there behind the tabernacle near that large rock, when Jesus showed up, when he came to where I was, I left with victory. I didn't have the answer, but I had Jesus. And Jesus is the answer. I've told you about my brain tumor, and I'm not going to go through that again. But when I left the hospital that Sunday afternoon, it looked like he was going to die, and I got in the car to drive back to Sierra Vista for 92 miles to preach that night. As soon as I got in the car, a song began to turn over in my heart. I began to sing Victory in Jesus. I know it sounds foolish, what I've told you before. Tell it one more time. I sung Victory in Jesus for 92 miles. Looked like my boy was going to die before I'd ever see him again. But God had said, if you'll trust me, I'll heal him. Amen. When God says something, you can stand on it. Right. And in that 1958 Chevrolet, as I was driving from Tucson to Sierra Vista, singing Victory in Jesus, I was not alone. Somebody said Jesus was my co-pilot. No, he wasn't. He was a pilot. He pilots my ship, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not the pilot of the ship, he is. That day when I was on my way back to preach that night, the Lord was right there with me in that automobile. And I will say this right now before I go to bed, he's right here this morning. He's right here now, amen, and he loves us. Thank God, thank God. Thank God for his people. Might be the last Thanksgiving sermon I ever preach. But thank God for his people. Thank God for taking care of us and providing. Thank God for his presence. And I'm going to close this morning. I've read the scripture. I've read it all. And I found that Jesus said on one occasion, I have been given all power. I have been given all power. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He has all power. He's everywhere present. He has all wisdom. He knows it all. And all power has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to close in a few moments. I'm going to leave a thought in your mind today on this Thanksgiving Sunday. If Jesus Christ has all power, Satan has none.
That's right.
Let me repeat that. Since Jesus has all power, Satan has none.
Hallelujah.
Neil, nada, zilch, nothing.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. Praise God.
And the only thing that Satan can do is what God allows him to do. You might ask the question, well, why does God allow him to do this, that? I'll give you a reason so that you can grow. If everything went easy all the time, you wouldn't even know how to pray.
That's right.
Satan has no power whatsoever. The only thing he can do to you is what God allows him to do.
Amen.
And when God says that's as far as you can go, that's as far as you can go. Mark that down. Satan is not in control. God is in control. And sometimes God, and we might not understand it, and we might ask why. God might raise his hand and say, Satan, you can go and do so and so to Tommy Metz. But God will also say, But you can go only so far, and that's as far as you can go. And when God says that's as far as you can go no further. Why? Because Satan has no power. None. He has all power. He said when he ascended to heaven, he said, I'm going back to my Father and to your Father. When I arrive, I will send the Holy Ghost. Not only will he be with you, he will be in you. He will anoint you with power and give you power to live an overcoming life. I'm going to make something clear. This is not a Wednesday night Bible study discussion time, but let me share this with you. The Holy Ghost power is not just to speak in tongues.
No, sir.
That's the only evidence. That's a manifestation. It's also a gift.
Yes.
The power of God is to live an overcoming life.
Yes.
In victory.
Yes.
Every day. Hallelujah. Yes. Every day.
Yes.
Living in victory.
Yes.
Power. I'll give you power to be victorious. Paul said, always live in victory. Always victorious. Always triumphant.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank God for his people. Thank God for providing. Thank God for his presence. Finally, thank God. Thank God this Sunday morning, Thanksgiving Sunday, for the power to live in victory.
Amen.
No one in this congregation needs to miss heaven. No one in this congregation needs to go out of here unprepared. He will give you power over the enemy. You come to God and ask God to save you. Maybe everyone's here saved, and I don't know, and I'm not the judge. On this Sunday for Thanksgiving week, he will give power. After you're saved, he will give you power to live in victory. Already remember what I've said. Satan has no power. And God will give you power to overcome the enemy. Bible says we will tear him on the foot. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with their tongues. They shall tear the serpents.
Come on, preacher.
Before that preacher, Satan is under our feet today. We have power with God. Sometimes we have to say, Satan is first overrun. We're always running from Satan. But the Bible says, to resist the devil and you're free from you.
Yes. Yes.
Let me just illustrate it and I'm going to close. Too often, people are running. What are you running from? Satan is after me. The Bible said, resist him. What are you doing now? I'm chasing him.
Amen.
Has this sunk in? Do we understand what I just said? Too many, and I've been in the ministry and in Christianity a long time. Too many have let the devil rule their lives.
Right.
I heard a preacher one time, a good woman, heard a preacher woman say, the devil's been on my shoulder, riding my shoulder all day long. I thought, how foolish. Give the devil a free ride on a Christian shoulder. Resist him and you're free from him. Get rid of him. Thank God for his people. My wife has come to piano. We're going to sing since Jesus passed by, honey. I want to leave this with you because I don't know what the future holds. I thank God for the people. I thank God for the church. I thank God for his people. Every time I go to prayer, seemingly the thought is, take care of the people. Take care of the people. And when I think about that, he's more concerned than I am. We're his. We're not our own. Thank God for his people. Thank God for providing. Some years ago when Brother Earl Rothman came and he was going over the finances. And he said, Brother Jones, something's missing. And I said, what is that? He said, there's no mortgage payment. I said, Brother Ed, it's all paid off.
He said, I've never been in a church where they didn't have any deadness. I want to thank God for the people and for His provisions, for the way that He's provided for us all these years and met every need. Thank God, thank God. Thank God for His presence that we've enjoyed time and time and time again. And finally, thank God for His power, for His anointing, for being so good to us. I love you, Lord. And if this is my last sermon, God, that I would ever preach, I thank you for being so good. Thank God. Will you stand with me?